Good evening and welcome to Good News Update from Living Compassion. My name is Justin. I'll be your host for this part of the show. And I'm pleased this afternoon to be joined by Sequoia, who is one of my fellow monks here at the monastery. Hey, Sequoia.
Hey, Justin. Good to be here.
Good to have you. So I believe you're here to tell us about some creative practices you've been doing. I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah, it's how fun. Yeah, I wanted to share these. What I've been seeing is that, and we all know this, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, hates fun, and it hates, actually, it's not very creative either. It's really boringly repetitious. So it's just started dropping into me, for me, that, you know, one of the best weapons is to turn to life's creativity and just let it have its way, and to also engage in the fun of letting life just express creatively through me. So I just wanted to share some of the things that came out through that. It's really fun.
That's awesome. So I'm betting that in order to do that, it requires you just to step right out of ego, because, you know, that's very true what you say.
Yeah.
It cares nothing for fun and is not creative at all.
Yeah, I kind of had to give up that, what it looks like, and, you know, trying to meet any of those standards of egocentric karmic conditioning. And, you know, life just drops things in now that, ego could have never thought of.
That's neat. So what you got?
Well, so one of the first things I came up with was one day it occurred to me that at the end of the day, egocentric karmic conditioning would just love to tell me how much I didn't pay attention during the day. You know, that I really got a bad scorecard on that. And one day I got really angry about that, and I thought, you know what, it lies to me about everything. I'm just lying to me about that as well. So I got one of those nifty little tally counters that, I don't know, people use to count the number of cars that go under a bridge or something. I don't know what they do with them, various things. You can get an app on a phone, or you can just, you know, get a handheld tally counter. And I just started hitting that counter during the day when I came back and when I was present. And I found out that it lies. And it was just so much fun. And then all of a sudden, I just realized the scoreboard was in my hands now and not in egocentric karmic conditioning's hands. And boy, did I have fun with that. I'd give myself bonus points.
Wow, that is so cool. That, you know, we've been using a lot of technology, you know, to assist us against egocentric karmic conditioning. That's a new one, I think, a tally counter.
Yeah.
What I love about that is, in order for you to remember that you have a tally counter and push it, you have to be present. So it's rock solid proof that what is ego is saying at the end of the day is a complete lie.
Absolutely, and I can't tell you how much it hates it.
Mm-hmm.
The resistance was so big to just something so simple. And it puts me on the, you know, I'm like on the offensive, you know, I'm just there watching, and, you know, and I do, the ball's in my hands. And so I just want to share that with folks. It's really a great deal of fun. So another thing I did, and this came out of a guidance appointment that I had, is I created a menu. And this is the Welcome to the Hong Kong Hell Kitchen. Had a great fun time decorating the front of it.
So just our listening audience can't see this, but I'm looking at an actual sort of a menu, and it's got a picture of a bowl. Is that a devil in the bowl?
Yeah.
There's a little devil in the bowl, and there's flames coming out of it, and it says, Welcome to Hong Kong Hell Kitchen.
So this little menu is, what egocentric karmic conditioning dishes up. And I just went through and I created a list of starters, small bites, noodles, sweet, then sour, and a dessert. So it was just really fun to come up with those lines that they're the opening lines that just take us into the Hong Kong Hell Kitchen.
That is really awesome. Can you give us a few examples, especially the sweet then sour? That is intriguing.
I love this. I'll just stay in bed a little longer. You know, it's one of those things that sounds so sweet at the time, and then boom, it just goes, south. Just this once. It won't matter. So, yeah. And then there's the noodles. I wonder what will happen if I... if only I had, and I just got to get off by myself and figure this out.
Wow, that's cool. I see there's some, what are some starters and some small bites?
Okay. Some small bites are, I hate it, I wish, if only, and some starters are, I'll do it tomorrow, and I don't feel like, dot, dot, dot.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so there's getting you warmed up for the main courses. It looks like we've got dessert, too.
Well, for dessert, you're the final dish if you eat at this cafe. So, and also, it's one of those places that you're, they just keep filling your bowl because their dishes don't satisfy at all. So, you know, they're dishing up more. So it was just great fun. Also, I recorded this, put it on my recorder so I could just listen to it and remember during the day, oh, when I hear these things, it's a sure sign that, you know, things are going down a direction I do not want to go on. So,
yeah, and I'm really getting the principle here. I feel like I'm having the experience of, you know, the fun. You know, it's I'm projecting. You've had lots of fun creating this and playing around with it and stuff. And, boy, what a disidentification. It's impossible to be doing this, I suspect, and be identified with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I just want to share another couple of fun things is I have a little journal that I use at the end of the day, and this is just really fun. And it's just to sit down at the end of the day with that and let life draw a picture. I don't have any idea what it's going to be or what color it will be or anything. Just like, okay, what would life like to express? And it always just comes out some little thing that just happened during the day, some insight, some sweet thing during the day to just be recorded. And it's not a trying to do a perfect, you know, drawing or something. It's just not knowing what's going to happen. Just let life express and just have this sweet little drawing at the end of the day to just say, wow, thank you, life.
Mm. Wow, that is so interesting. Let me see if I got it. So you don't have any idea what you're going to draw, and you just sort of let you're sort of channeling life, letting life draw on the page, but it ends up expressing something about the day or some insight you had or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Some little insight, and then the insight will just pop out, and I'll just write that down at the bottom of the picture, and it's just really fun to have that to go back to as well, and it's a really big disidentification tool. As long as you don't, you know, creativity is something that I've noticed just self-hate has just snatched from me throughout my life by comparison and judging and all of that, and it just feels really great to take it back and just, you know what, just jump in and just throw that judge out the window and have fun with it.
Wow, that is so powerful because, you know, for most people, I don't know if it's this way for you, but that creativity got taken away when we were little bitty kids. And, boy, the thought of it just takes me right back to that place and undoing the harm that was done there and using that, you know, allowing that creativity to flow through and using that to support the human against this egocentric karmic conditioning and to be in the moment and to enjoy and all the things we really want.
Absolutely. I think that's what the little drawings are. It's just a little kid just gets to draw, you know. And actually, I've also created a recording of that, of just a really loving mentor with that person and just letting her know that whatever she creates is fine. She never asks, what is it? You know? She never asks her to explain her drawings, you know. It's just whatever is wants to be expressed is just absolutely wonderful.
And so just to underline that, you, in addition to these things you're doing, you're using the recording listening practice to support it all and to help it happen, might we say, in a container of compassion and kindness.
Absolutely. It's the wonderful thing about the recording and listening practice is to just really be able to access that compassion and have it with us and hold it, all these experiences within that.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. Now, was there another one?
Oh, I was just going to say, this, you know, this came out of the at-home retreat we did recently, but dancing is another one. It's just another way that over the years conditioning just like would snatch that one away from me because, you know all the things. And no more. Every day there is a period of dancing. I don't care, you know, what it looks like or how much, but just to, especially it's wonderful to do it when I pop out of bed in the morning. And it just sets the day, and it's the best.
Yeah, I just have this image of egocentric karmic conditioning just hating that. You know how like at the school dance, people are kind of hanging around in the shadows. I just think about ego being back there, just unable to affect it. You know, it can't join the dance, doesn't know how to dance, not willing to dance, and unable to get you. You know, to grab you out there on the dance floor.
Yeah, and I love those moves, and I just say, take that. I can dance, and I will dance, and I am dancing. So.
Well, that's fabulous. Well, all this is incredibly inspiring. Anything else you want to leave our listeners with?
No, I would just encourage everybody to really go to let life express in that way. It's just the most fun, and it's just a sure signal that we're with life when it is enjoyable, when it is compassionate, and a sure sign we're with egocentric karmic conditioning when it's boring, repetitious, and hard.
Yeah, that's so great. Well, I'm on board for one, and I bet everybody out there is too. Thank you so much, Sequoia. Really appreciate you bringing this to us.
Great fun. Thanks.
Passing it back to you there, Michael.
Okay, great. Thank you, Justin, and thank you, Sequoia. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Well, that was fun.
It was, wasn't it? It was. I loved all of them, and particularly that menu. That was that was genius. Maybe we can talk her into, publishing that for us in some way, so that we can all fill it in and add to it our own unique little recipes and touches to the dishes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get noodle until she mentioned it the second
time. Yes, me too. Yeah, when at first I thought, oh, yeah, that noodles. And then, yeah, got it.
Funny.
How are you, Michael?
I'm good.
What are you up to?
Life. And
right.
Participation. And
excellent.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. I missed you guys last week. So
yeah, we missed you too.
I can report that North Carolina is just as beautiful as it was the last time I saw it. And the people
Wonderful.
Are just as fabulous. Mm-hmm.
That is great.
Mm-hmm.
That is great. Good retreat, huh?
Oh, it was a marvelous retreat. You know, putting a retreat together, it's kind of like, well, you know, you think that maybe that, well, I don't know if it. And so, you know, if they had half as much fun as we had, it was a really great retreat.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So
and the one here, of course, is full, the one that we're going to do at the monastery. And I don't know when registration opens for the one in Pennsylvania. But I hope people will watch for it if they're interested in Eightfold Path, because it's good.
Great. Great. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some announcements here.
Okay.
The new recording and listening website will publish a new RL practice blog entry each and every Tuesday.
Wow.
Which means that there's a new article there today.
Uh-huh.
Which I've read, and it's great.
Good.
And the website, again, is recordingandlistening.org. That's all spelled out, recordingandlistening.org.
You know, the thing that astounds me about this recording and listening practice is how many ways there are to do it.
Yes.
You know, and just, I mean, every time I'm in conversation with people, you know, two or three people are coming up with things that I've never thought of as possibilities.
Yeah.
And so having that website, in, so with, of course, at a retreat or an email class previously, people would say, you know, what about this recording? How do you, and you know, we're kind of stuck with, well, buy the book. And what you practice, what you have, and but that's kind of a long ways away. Now they can just go to the website, and it's all everything you need to get started is right there to get started and to deepen your practice and to stay inspired. So it's it's a good stop.
Yes, yes. And visit livingcompassion.org to find out about our other spring training supports, the new virtual meditation groups, and the new Stop Drop Text program. It's just an explosion of possibilities.
It is. There were people at the retreat who had already participated in the Stop Drop and Text, and they couldn't say enough good stuff about it. So I'm really hoping that, that people enjoy it. It's such a, you know, with that and the practice everywhere and Zen awareness coaches, I mean, truly, we just follow you around and and offer opportunities to wake up. So, good.
That's funny. I saw the dates for the Stop Drop Text program, and my first thought was, why do I have to wait till the 1st of May to start this? I'm ready to go now.
Yeah. Well, you know, Michael, you could always text to yourself in the interim.
Yes, a great idea.
Kind of, like the record, left-hand, right-hand recording and listening practice. You know, you just text with your one hand and then respond with the other.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
It is, I think, a little more fun, though, when there's somebody out there in cyberspace somewhere writing back to you.
Indeed. And there's still some time to sign up for the email class on nutrition and fitness, which begins April 29th.
Mm-hmm.
So up your game with the support of Sangha.
Mm-hmm. Excited about that.
Yes, me too. All of this and more at schedule.livingcompassion.org. Our call-in number today is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. Then enter your PIN followed by pound. And if you could focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So let's see who we have.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Poppy.
Oh, my goodness. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. I heard you hinting at me to call a few weeks ago, so I'm calling.
All right. Tell us what's going on in your life.
Everything's going really well. I'm just, I am actually just a few weeks away from submitting my last ever coursework for my degree.
Wow.
So that's kind of been taking up a lot of my life for the last few years.
No kidding. And what have you been studying?
I've been studying English literature with creative writing.
Aha. All right.
So lots of
lovely. And what?
Lots of writing.
Aha. Aha. Wow. And you finish up when?
I'm sorry?
You finish up when?
On the 2nd of May.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's all exciting.
Wow, yeah, that's fabulous.
Yeah, and me and Mum were just talking a while ago about how I think it's been 10 years since I first phoned.
Well, I remember that you were 13. Is that what you remember?
We weren't sure whether I was 12 or 13. I'm now 32.
Uh-huh. Wow. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've grown up together.
Yeah, we have.
So how is practice? Are you having any Go ahead.
Something that I've been finding quite interesting in relation to university, actually, is how I feel about my grades. And just kind of, I suppose, I find it quite easy to attach, like, my self-worth to the kind of grades that I get. And I've been finding, it's actually been, going to university, but, like, it's been, there's been aspects of it that's been quite difficult. But I found it's been very useful in, as a tool for practice, because I found that the longer I've been there, like every year, I've felt less and less like I my self-worth is affected by what grades I get. So it's kind of forced me to have to deal with that, I suppose.
And so how did that, how does that change happen?
I think I just, like, to begin with, I was finding that, you know, when I got a grade that I didn't think was good enough, I'd spend a while thinking, oh, God, you know, what should I do wrong? This is a reflection of who I am. And then the reverse, if I got a grade that I thought was good, I'd then feel good about myself. So I just became more and more aware of it. And I suppose the more aware of it I got, the more I wanted to concentrate on it more and more and remind myself as much as I could that actually what grades I got don't have any reflection on me at all. So I suppose it's quite simple in a way, but I just had to keep reminding myself. That's the difficult bit, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Because the voices in your head, I would imagine, were right there to remind you that you should feel a particular way, especially if the grade wasn't up to standard.
And I find, you know, bouncing my feelings off my mom as well helps, or anybody else that kind of understands practice. And, you know, then they can kind of give you reflection of what you're saying.
Yeah, it's such a great example of having no control. Right? Because you do the work that you do. And then somebody else judges it.
Completely.
And so depending on what side of the bed they got up on, or whether they're in a bad patch with their spouse, or have indigestion, your grade goes up or down.
Yeah, exactly. And with the creative writing aspect of my course in particular, because that's it's short stories that I've been writing mostly, like that's completely subjective. And it could just be the kind of story that your teacher doesn't like or does like. And, yeah, you've just got to keep reminding yourself of that all the time. Just not focus on the number. Which, and I think it does, I feel like me letting that affect me less has actually helped me in all other aspects of, as well, of my life, like not just in relation to university.
It's going to set you up for the rest of your life. To realize what other people are experiencing really doesn't have anything to do with you. So hard to remember.
It really is.
Because the whole world is set up to not be aware of that. You know, a person has a boss, and that boss is perceived by the world as some sort of objective party who can actually look at an employee and in a completely unbiased way assess how that person is doing.
Yeah.
And we just know from ourselves that that's not true. You know, when we like somebody, you know, we're happily disposed toward them. And when we don't care for somebody, you know, you get into a place where they can't do anything right. And yet that's not taken into consideration. You know, you get a bad review and there it is. Or you get fired from a job and nobody says, gosh, I bet your boss was a jerk, huh?
Yeah.
So that's an important one to keep in mind.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have anything lined up next?
I basically just want to carry on with my writing and writing stories, it was a bit of a difficult decision to make because obviously it's not the most straightforward. All you can do is just write and send it to people and carry on sending it to people if that doesn't work straight away. So I suppose that was another thing where I had to just decide that I was going to do it, even though it was maybe a bit scary. But I'm feeling good about everything. Everything seems to be pretty good at the moment.
Good. And, you know, since the moment is all we have, that's a very good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
All right. Well, it's great to hear your voice.
Yeah,
it's great to think about 10 years and all of the changes that have happened in mine. Many changes in my life too, but yours are more they're bigger at that stage in life. So it's very fun. I'm glad you checked in with us and let us know how you're doing.
Yeah, me too.
All right. You keep in touch, huh?
Yep. Okay. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Poppy. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Poppy. You're listening to Open Air. That was fun to hear from an old friend.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. 10 years.
10 years. And we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, this is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm very well. I think between listening to Sequoia and then the fun of that last call, I'm good.
You're disidentified.
Exactly. It's hard not to be with all this great stuff, yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
So
I will keep listening to those because I think especially that creative and fun approach that was talked about on the Good News, I think that's a great place to look. I've been watching this thing that I wanted to call in about where, you know, just the way that the voices are getting me, but I'll set up my kind of a schedule for the day and all of the places where required to show up, you know, for another person. There's meetings and phone calls and those kinds of things are fine. And then the places, you know, whenever there's an open space where I've set forth something that I want to give my energy to, something that I want to spend the time doing, a project or whatever else. And those places are where I feel like I'm just really in this kind of like this battle with conditioning over those places. Like I see the whole thing. I see a lot of it. I see how it gets me, and yet I watch myself just keep going with the behavior, you know, choosing not to do the thing that's on the schedule, choosing to do something that doesn't end up feeling good and doesn't support me. And I was feeling like I was getting that image of like a train track, you know, how there's just so, that's how it feels, is like there's so much energy to kind of like go down that well-worn train track that I've gone on with conditioning for so long, and I'm wanting to, like, I don't know what that thing is, and isn't there a little, like, you know, flip that they switch and you can, like, jump the track to another track? And, you know, I want to jump the track. So,
yeah. Well, it's funny because that image of that train going down the track and picking up momentum, and, of course, it is going downhill, right?
Exactly.
So more and more force behind the whole thing. And so now you're looking for that lever that you throw, and then whoop, you leave that track, and now you're on another track going in another direction.
Exactly. Yes.
It's a great image.
Uphill.
So, Jim. Yeah. Or just level. Just leveling
or, yeah,
off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just not the downhill. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jen, when you're getting, there you are. It's time to whatever it is that you've decided you want to do in a different moment, and you can feel the resistance to doing the thing that you committed to. And
mm-hmm.
is there enough conscious awareness that you could record at that moment? Could you say, okay, this is the time that I said I would, and I'm feeling a lot of resistance to it, and so what I'm getting ready to do is, and you talk about the old downhill train track, and is there enough awareness to be able to do that?
There might be. I'm not sure. I mean, it does. Sometimes it feels like it takes over, it fast. It happens quickly. But, I mean, I can picture a few things, like have the recorder right there next to me, have a big post-it note on it, some things that could support that. There could be, because sometimes it does feel like there is this space of kind of like, conditioning and the heart kind of in it.
Will she or won't she? Will
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I just feel the momentum of the train track and boom, there I go off in the direction I was not intending. So in that space, I mean, there could be a place of grab the recorder.
Uh-huh. Because I'm thinking, I'm an alcoholic and I'm getting ready to take that drink. Could if I were able to pick up the recorder and say, this is what I'm getting ready to do, not even in a way, in an attempt to stop it, but in an attempt to show that conscious awareness is a possibility there. And then when I the next time around, what might it be? Because after that, of course, I would record what happened when I had that drink and how it felt. And, so starting to bring more awareness to how I'm getting talked into this, what exactly happens that I go with it, and then what happens afterwards as a result, kind of like a verbal process map until you can get clearer and clearer and clearer. And there's enough self-consciousness, if you will, self-consciousness is kind of a good word for it, actually, because there are some things that I can do in unconsciousness, but if I know I'm actually there, it's harder to pull it off, if you know what I mean.
I think I do. Yes, yeah, just that place of, okay, if I really know, I can really feel and have heard myself talking through that experience, it's harder to make that choice of knowing how crummy that's going to feel and the whole deal. Yeah.
If I can pretend that I'm not really here, that I don't really know, then it's easier to go along with the it's too hard not to, and what difference does it make? It's kind of some of the ones Sequoia had on her Hong Kong Hell's Kitchen list, just this once, or what difference does it make, or, who cares? And yet, would I really say that out loud? I might hear it in my head and go along with it, but if I said it out loud, could I go in the same way?
Oh, yeah, that seems really good, because that's exactly it. It's lots of those, like, oh, well, I'll just do this for a minute, and, I know where that is going to go. I mean, come on. But, yeah, I get a sense of, like, okay, if I actually have to speak that out loud and have it on the recorder, that's a different place than just hearing it in my head and going along with it. Yeah.
It really is, isn't it? Yeah. I think that's, again, back to, more obvious or more addictions that we're more socially familiar with. A person has a sponsor in a program, and so if I'm in AA and I know I'm going to drink, I pick up the phone and call my sponsor. And we have a conversation about it, and that conversation brings me back to the present, such that I'm not going to do it. And the recorder, of course, can play that same role. It's a mentor slash sponsor. And so if we say it out loud to the recorder, then that might just be the thing that tips the scales in our favor.
Oh, that is awesome. Okay, I'm excited. I'm going to put the recorder right next to the, you know, at the desk where I'll need it and the whole, yeah, okay, that sounds great.
Yeah, and do let us know, okay, whether it works really well or it doesn't work so well. Let us know, because that's the kind of thing that, you know, could be helpful to others if it actually works. And, and even the, you know, the backing it up. So I know the recorder is there on the desk where this is going to happen. Then I get talked into doing whatever I'm doing at the kitchen table. So,
right.
You know,
exactly.
How do I keep backing it up so that I can bring that conscious conversation into whatever the juncture is, right, where that switch is that I throw and get on that other track.
Exactly. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, I definitely will check back in. I love that kind of calling the sponsor. You know, I've always felt like I wish we had like a disidentification hotline or something, and I feel like that's what the recorder is, you know, so this is a perfect way to kind of use it in that way. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
all
great.
Right. Well, thank you so much. And just a big thanks for everything that's being offered there. Like you guys were talking about, it's amazing. There is so much great stuff to practice with. And I just thank you so much for all of it. It's amazing.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thanks for being a part of it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Have a great rest of the show, you guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jen. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air. Yeah, that's a really fun practice, Sherry. I was just picturing myself recording every time I wanted to eat sugar.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it doesn't even mean you're not going to eat the sugar.
Yeah.
Right. But you're gonna prove that you're there and you're not unconscious and so you know, part of it, Michael, that I didn't think of when I was talking to Jen, but so if you know I'm gonna eat sugar, and so, you know, I say, okay, well, there are these cookies, and I'm going to eat them. And then I eat those cookies. The voices afterwards, we could have a different relationship with the voices.
Yeah.
Because it's not, look at you, what's the matter with you? Guys, you're so weak, you have no self-discipline. No, it was actually a conscious choice. I decided to eat that. And so let's not have any more conversation about it. And then the next time, it frees me up to maybe not. And so this time I do, and this time I don't, and this time I do, and this time I don't. And then I really get to look at how does that feel just within me, not within a conversation with karmic conditioning, but just within me. What takes care of me? What do I actually choose? And that seems like another big step outside of the system.
Yes, that's exactly where I was going when you were talking, because if there's not the something wrong with me conversation, why can't I, then there's the opening there to see, well, how does sugar feel in the body, and where does it feel, and how long does it last, and the whole deal.
Mm-hmm. And is it what I really actually want to do? As soon as we take the drama, the conditioning drama out of it, then it's just, and if I do want to have it, then I have it. And that's it. There's no more talk about it.
Yeah.
What I wanted is what I did. There. Well, I feel kind of crummy. Okay, but the point is, I wanted it and I did it, and this is where it is. That we nothing to feel bad about.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be back.
All right.
The practice theme for this year is upping your game. We are all spiritual athletes in the game of life, and we can train to participate joyfully in the spirit of play. Yes, we are up against a worthy opponent, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. But we can up our chances of success by getting a personal trainer, a Zen awareness coach. The awareness coaches are guided by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching around any number of life issues or awareness practice in general. Coaching places a special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and from old timers that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. Since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to practice, getting a coach assists us to support ourselves while supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit sanghamarket.com, go to the services section, click on the little monk, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have more callers, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dan in Massachusetts.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
Good. Great. What's going on?
I was just moved to call it. It's been a while, and so I thought I'd call in and chat about practice.
Good. That's very good. Felt moved to call, and so I did.
So
and
I
then
did.
We get to talk about practice.
Yeah. So it's this has been fun tonight because what happened to me today was this past few months I've been focusing a lot on practicing with my job and around my job and how I'm feeling about my job and things like that. And I got some awareness coaching, which was great, and I'm looking forward to doing that again sometime soon. And I launched myself right after the coaching ended, or right around the time it ended. I launched myself on a 40-day retreat because
wow.
that's how many work days I had between when I was starting this and kind of until the next break. And it was great because at the beginning of that, it just felt like this really long, desolate expanse of time that was going to be really hard to get through. And putting that label on it just gave me a focus and it just helped make it go not faster, but just better. It was just, it was a really good experience.
Mm-hmm. And so what did it, can you give us an idea of sort of what it consisted of?
Yeah, so mostly, I suppose all of life is like this, but it seems especially so at my job. It's like, I can look in a million directions and see things that I can feel bad about, and then just the slightest turn in my head, and I can see a million things that I could feel really good about. But of course, because I'm a conditioned human, I have often spent most of my time looking at the things that I feel bad about. And so this 40-day retreat was just reminders every day of what I wanted to look for. The 40 days is a long time, so the mantra kind of changed over time, but it started out with, what does my heart want in this circumstance? Ways to kind of give me a bridge that when I was already in it and looking at the things that made me feel bad, like how could I clamber back out?
And so did you remind yourself every morning? Was there a check-in in the evening? I mean, how did you stay consciously aware of the fact that you were going to do this for 40 days, because often people get 3 days in and forget that they made the commitment.
Right. Well, part of it is that, there was this natural conditioned help, which is that, all over my building were all these, countdown, everybody was counting down at the same rate that I was. So every reminder that this is a long stretch and there's so many days left reminded me of what I was doing. So that was a help. But then a little more proactively than that, I recorded every morning, which was pretty easy to keep up because that's been part of my routine for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a buzzer go off every 10 or 15 minutes that would kind of, sometimes it didn't work. Sometimes the buzzer would go off and I thought, oh, that means it's 10:15 and I'd go back to suffering. But when it did work, it reminded me of what my focus was. And then there was an evening check-in on recording, and that happened a lot less often. But that was part of the commitment that got kept less. But when it got kept, it was helpful.
And the overall, the net result of that, does it feel like you're more present, just generally speaking, in life?
Yeah, a lot. Like I don't know how to put it. It made me feel, and I kind of was projecting some of this during the Good News Update today too. It just made me feel like I was in charge
mm-hmm.
of what I wanted my experience to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
You know,
so even if I, yeah, go ahead. Oh, just even, you know, even if it was a rough day and I was feeling down, as soon as I sort of came to and realized what was going on, it wasn't as though I immediately felt, chipper. But I just was able to see it as part of the retreat as opposed to something that meant something about me or my skill or my career or whatever.
Yeah. You know, Dan, what you said there is so important. So we're going along and we get into these places. So the one that you're describing, I think it's kind of universal. So I fall into seeing everything that's wrong and feeling bad about that, whether it's something I've done or could do something about or not, but just that focus on everything that's wrong. And then to realize that that's a syndrome. You know, it's a process. It's a thing that happens. It's not true. It's not real. It's a perspective. Yeah. And as you were doing by deciding to turn your attention to everything that's going well, it highlights the fact that that is an attitude of mind that kind of slips over conscious awareness. And then that's the lens that you're seeing through. And as soon as you remove those lenses, as you say, turn your head, then you're seeing a completely different reality.
Right.
Yeah.
And what's conditioning's counterattack was to come at me with something like, well, now that you're doing this, everything should be going much better.
It never quits, does it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And you know, and that was saying it now, it's obvious that that's ridiculous. But it wasn't, you know, it was pretty easy to believe because there's so much, so much reinforcement out there for things are not okay unless X, Y, and Z are happening and A, B, and C are not happening, and you know, so it's it was mostly just how's this? I'm actually glad that it was that long an experience because it kept, you know, I would kind of come to and get conscious and then start to believe that things should be magically turned around and superhumanly wonderful from then on, and then they weren't, and that would kind of be a real big disappointment. And I kind of had to see that a whole bunch of times before I got that. That's the lie that I was working with.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Sense?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And the transformation happens because there is always, no matter what's going on, there is goodness. Right? In each and every moment, there's something there that is we can be grateful for, that we can appreciate, that we can. Now, I think it's true that, in fact, in any moment, the vast majority of what's going on falls into that category.
There's still oxygen on the planet and things like that.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Well, and you have your health and you have a job and all of those. You're intelligent and you're going back and forth and, you know, just tons and tons and tons. Nobody died in your immediate vicinity. And so
that's just for starters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then we can get subtle from there. And as you say, the focus, the agreed upon focus is what's wrong. And so to train ourselves always to be seeing what is working, what is good, what is right. Just got back from North Carolina, and the trip there was, I think, hellacious is not too strong a word. And the thing
and this is from somebody who travels recently all around the world, right? So
right.
North Carolina should have been easy compared to...
It should have been easy, and boy, it wasn't. It was just kind of, you know, short of the planes crashing, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And in the airport, you know, when that starts happening, people start losing it in a big hurry and screaming at people whose fault it isn't and that sort of thing. And the thing that I was struck by all the way through this, including, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning catching the shuttle for the, you know, the flight after the canceled flight the night before, there were so many kind people.
Yeah.
Just at every turn, every time something needed to be done or something didn't work or whatever it was, there was kindness. And to be able to have that to see and to focus on in the face of all of this stuff that really is not the way anybody would want it to be. Well, it's not the way anybody would want it to be. And yet there was kindness. And I don't know, it was just, I really appreciated the experience for that reminder.
Yeah.
You know, that no matter what's going on, kindness is possible. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And yeah. That's actually kind of where I got to at the end of my 40 days. So at the beginning, it was, you know, it was one thing. And by the end, I just, you know, my buzzer would go off and I would just hear just love, love, love. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was, you know, it's really nice when you spend your day doing that.
It really is, isn't it? It really is. No matter what the circumstances are. Love, love, love. Yeah. Now, are you going to continue, even though you sound like you reached the break? And
I am. I actually just figured out just today. It just occurred to me. I was having a chat with my recorder, and somebody said you could do another one. And in fact, I've, if I'm not mistaken, it's going to take me right to the end of the academic year. So, so I think. And what came up this afternoon was I think this one's going to be about fun.
About what?
So.
About
fun.
What, Dan? Fun. Oh, yes.
Fun.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Love and fun.
So, yep, it's in our theme, and, you know, it's one of the reasons I switched to this career in the first place, so that's what I'm going to do for the next 40 work days.
Very good. What a gift. What a gift for you and for everybody you encounter. And as long as there are no standards, it's all going to be love and fun.
Yep, and the fun part will be to practice when, you know, everybody else is walking around with standards. So
yes,
I'm going to have fun anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's fabulous. I love it. Keep us posted, huh?
You bet. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Dan. Looks like fun, fun, fun is on the menu, Sherry.
Love and fun.
Love and fun. Wonderful. And let's talk to another caller.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael and Sherry. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Well, hi. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I'm doing great. I'm really just loving the sort of repetition of the word fun today, or at least it seemed to be popping out at me on the call.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was really, really loving the good news update. The just those, you know, this how this practice continues to have like idea after idea after idea. They just never end.
It's insane, isn't it?
It really is.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And you know, it's so great because, you know, as always, I just wanted to call in and not, you know, conditioning just always wants me to present. You got a story. What are you going to tell? Blah, blah, blah. Same thing, whatever. And then it was just such an enjoyable thing to just be here and show up and to get to see while I was just here listening, like how much that spoke to me. Like I could just see these parts of me getting so excited, like, yeah, you know, that is so much fun, and it's so creative, and I want to bring in some of these new ideas.
Mm-hmm. I want to do the draw a picture at the end of every day to allow life basically to, you know, I'm pretty dialed into the life dropping in intuition and insight and that sort of being directed, looking to life to be directed in that way. But it doesn't, and with something like writing, you know, creating a workshop or a retreat or writing a book or that sort of thing, but never with drawing. And since I was a child, I've wanted to draw and loved, of course, I loved to draw when I was a kid, as most kids do. And so that's the one I think I want to take up.
I love that. Yeah, you know, and when Dakota was talking about that, what really struck me about that was, again, like for me, I'm so fascinated, especially at practices that help me get out of the way, you know, and that let me just sort of see what life brings in. And I really resonated with that whole exercise about that, because just being able to see, like, well, what does life want to express?
Yeah. What about the day? What about the day are we going to note here?
And I think the other thing that dropped in throughout the call today was also around my recording and listening practice is really seeing, I've been listening to just random recordings a lot lately, and just watching, like, when the ones pop in where I just recorded for the fun of it, like there wasn't really, it wasn't like there was something wrong and I was trying to, like, you know, work something out. It was more just like maybe there was a song on the radio that really made me happy, and so I would quickly turn on the recorder. And I've just been noticing that, like, how much I want to bring even more of that in, like that it, the practice doesn't have to be so serious, which is, like,
ooh,
I think, cool. You know?
It really shouldn't be. Reverent. Reverent.
Yeah.
But not serious. Ego is serious. I have respect doesn't even come close to what I feel for practice. Reverence is getting, you know, more in the area. So there's no whatever would be the opposite of reverence, but it's always fun. It's always light and happy and can be heartfelt and moving and inspiring and touching and all of those kinds of things, but it's always happy.
I love that. And, you know, while you were saying that, you know, I don't know why, but just it would drop in. I think I told you a while back, I somebody gave me a ukulele. And
yes.
I've been teaching myself how to play Moon River, because it's a song that my mother keeps joking, like, that she'd really love me to play. And I know she thinks that I would never do it, but I would try to learn how for Mother's Day to surprise her. And it has been just so much fun, and conditioning hates it so much because of that. You know, because they keep trying to tell me, like, well, this is silly. This doesn't, you know, what are you doing? You know, you're wasting your time. And it's just, I just love, first of all, you know, it keeps reminding me of the learning to love learning that, you know, we were so focused on, that it's like, it really brings that to life again. And also just the play. Like, it's just a part of me that just hasn't gotten to get expressed ever.
Yeah. Well, and you're doing it for your mother, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah, for your mother for Mother's Day, and still the voices don't like it.
Yeah.
You can't please them. You really can't please them.
I know, and I don't really care to, but so thank you. I just feel like, you know, again, I just love this practice of just being able to touch in and connect on this show and just to see what comes in. You know, it's like just to see, like, this was a whole conversation I didn't expect, and it's so lovely that way. It's such a gift.
It is. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, so
let's do it often.
Well, thank you both so much. Have a good
You're
rest of
welcome.
The call.
All right, thanks, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. Fun, that was fun, Sherry. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Shelley in Portland, Oregon.
Hi.
Hello, Shelley. How are you?
I'm good. How are you both doing?
Great. Great. Thank you. What's going on?
Well, I'm calling to say that I am here. I've been practicing and listening to the archives for, gosh, years probably, and just wanted to call and let you know that I'm here.
Well, thank you. Is this your first time calling?
I called probably 2 years ago once, and I talked to another monk. So, yeah, this is the first time I get a chance to talk to you.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, great. I really appreciate that because you know that there are people out there listening to the archives and listening to the show and that sort of thing, and we really appreciate it when somebody says, and I'm one of those people, because as we say often, the value that all of us receive from the contribution that everybody in practice makes is immeasurable. And mm-hmm. So it's good to step up and add that, hey, I'm here too.
Yeah, and you know, I want to let you know that I think something that opened it up for me that really let me know that I'm part of this Sangha is the virtual sitting groups. When that email announcement came out and then all of the other announcements coming out after it, I just feel more and more excited, the recording and listening, all the things that I've been trying to do for a long time. And all of a sudden, this is how you do it, and we're in this together. There's something with that that it got through conditioning. So I'm
uh-huh.
very excited. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. That's such a great point, because conditioning really wants us to believe that we're alone and isolated and don't belong and everybody else is doing something but you can't and you're too far away and you can't, all of those, you can't. And
yeah.
So, good. And I haven't actually tuned in yet to the virtual sitting group, but I understand from people who are participating in them that it really does, it's like being there.
Yeah, that's just such a gift. I'm really grateful living at a distance. And you know, I wanted to let you know that I'm practicing like my hair is on fire over here. And
good.
I'm 39 and I have two young daughters and a wonderful husband and very healthy. And then last fall I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And and suddenly very sick and in the hospital a lot, and I'm in remission right now, but it was a very rare cancer that had already moved around my body. And so there is the practice is what has gotten me through. When I couldn't get out of the hospital bed, when I was afraid and claustrophobic in the CT scan and the PET scan machines, it was the mentor and listening to radio archives, and just you've all been a lifeline. So to everybody who's listening in the Sangha, and to you, Sherry and Michael, I just wanted you to know how much it's meant to me to have this practice through all of the health issues recently.
Gosh. Thank you. Wow, that is humbling, inspiring. I don't even know what the words are, but
mm-hmm.
thank you for letting us know that.
Yeah, and I'm very excited to continue. It's you know, now that I'm in, you know, all the doctors say, well, you're in remission now, you know, we'll just see you every 3 months. And gosh, when you go from, you know, stage 4, all, you know, and then a short period of time, oh, you're cancer free, conditioning can have a real heyday with that. And I've left my full-time job so I can spend more time with my family, and yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot going on that I'm still trying to sort through, but it's the recording and listening and the sitting and the loving. So, I mean, those are the things. It's just, those are what are getting me through right now.
Yeah. Oh, I am so, I'm a bit born again with this recording and listening business, as anybody who listens to me knows. And at the retreat a few days ago in North Carolina, I felt like, once again, I was kind of beating people over the head with this. And and I went after the evening group. I went back to where I was staying, and I thought, maybe I need to lighten up. And just, you know, maybe this is what I'm going to do, is really drive people away from practice because they feel like, you know, they've got to either do this or else. And then what dropped in is, you know, if I were a medical doctor, I would be doing everything I could do to get people to make healthy choices for their body. And if I were a psychotherapist, I would be doing everything I could do to help people have the best mental health they could have. And what I do, my little corner of the world, is spiritual practice, awareness practice. And this is the best thing I've ever discovered in terms of spiritual practice. And I can't not do what could sound like nagging people to do it, because I know that people who have been so depressed that they couldn't function are now able to go about their lives happily because they have this recording and listening practice to turn to instead of the voices in their heads. People who have been in all kinds of really miserable, suffering situations are able to find the joy and peace and comfort in life because of the mentoring that comes from that simple little practice. And so, I gotta be born again, and I've got to nag. And I'll tell you what, you have inspired me to nag. Tonight, you
nag away.
You have really stoked those fires. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad. Well, you know, it's what, you know, gosh, when you're laying there and all you're doing is thinking, you know, and it's, I know so many of our listeners understand this with various health issues, and I, what came to me is, you know, I know people say, I don't like the sound of my own voice. Well, I had to get over that in a hurry because I thought, well, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to record and listen. And then it's what you had said. I've heard it a few times over the years on the radio show about the karma. You know, I really am the only person who understands what this is like for me.
Oh, yeah.
And my mentor is the other person who understands this. And So rather than trying to explain it to somebody, and then, you know, it just felt kinder to walk myself through it.
Wow. That is powerful.
Yeah.
And so very true. So with something like that, yes, absolutely. Who is going to understand that? Even somebody who had been in a very similar situation doesn't know how you feel. And so we try to talk to people about these things, and they love us, and they want to understand, and they try, and they just can't. And then there's that disappointment and feeling separate, and why, with that mentor, there's just nothing but feeling understood and loved and cared for and nurtured and all of the things that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it frees us up, doesn't it? So then you don't come to your husband with this overpowering need for him to do something that he probably can't do no matter how much he loves you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then I can talk through it and listen to it, look at it differently, and then I can go to him and say, I just need a big hug. That's all I need. And he's like, I can do that. That I can do.
That I can
do.
So, yeah. Everybody's successful.
So, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you gain new insights, and I don't shock anybody with what I'm saying. It's wonderful. And you know, the mentor came out in times when I really needed it, like being afraid in a big scanning machine. The mentor would say, you know what, we need good scans. We really take a deep breath. This is the goal is to get, you know, really clear. We don't need to do this again. You know, just calm down. Mm-hmm. And that's all new. If I hadn't been doing the recording and listening, that wouldn't have popped out at the moment that I needed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, exactly. Oh, boy. Let's underline that one. The training that we do is so that it'll be there for us when we need it. Yeah. Oh.
Let me ask you this.
May I use this? May I use this recording, this conversation? Okay, good. Because I want to start getting this into the hands of some this recording and listening work into the hands of other kinds of people who are in different walks of life and in relationship with people. And so this is a perfect one. This is a big one. You know that
folks who are facing
those kinds of health challenges and to know that there is this thing and it's different to have me say it or to have somebody who has been through it say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just you're the expert and they'll listen to you in a way they wouldn't listen to me. So
I'm happy to please feel free to use this however you can. Okay. And I want to pay it forward.
Okay. That's great. Thank you so much. I can't tell you how much this has meant to me.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, thank you. Yeah. It's just wonderful to connect with you and just really wanted to let you know. And I intend to call back and be a more active part of Sangha.
Excellent. We look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you. You too. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Shelley. Wow. That was an amazing conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And it's true what I said. I mean, I have some people lined up that I want to offer this work to as a possibility for them to assist others, and that conversation will go a long ways toward making it real to people. So that's a good deal. Thank you, sir.
Oh, and thank you. It was wonderful.
Yep, let's meet again next week.
All right. Talk to you then.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.